So my last year, I applied 50 tons of biochar to my 7-acre farm.
Okay.
So I have 50 tons. So 1 ton of biochar sequesters 2 tons of CO2. So
Wow.
I actually get twice the credits of the biochar I use in the farm. So for 50 tons I use in my farm, I get 100 credits.
Wow.
And the last year, the credit, carbon credits in biochar, they were $100. But they say, let's say I only get paid $20 the credit. Let's say.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and unfortunately, this is the final episode in a 5-part series with Angela from Bodega de la Finca in Colombia. We are talking about this new technology that's actually not new. They've found out in the Amazon that it is a very ancient technology, and it is called biochar. We've been talking about your story, Angela. We've been talking about how you figured this out and how it ran concurrent with them finding this technology buried in the soil in the Amazon, and how you've been implementing it on your farms, how you used it to take your coffee trees that were dead, 20 years old, they were just skeletons, you fed it some biochar and they started sprouting. You stumped them, they turned into healthy trees. It's something that has the potential to save coffee producers a lot of money, right? Okay. And we've also been talking about climate and the reason that climate was going to make your farm non-existent. Now, there are farms all over the world that are being impacted by drought at the moment. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the global implementations of biochar. Now, if you look at what's happening in India and you look at what's happening in Vietnam, their crops, luckily India just got rain, but their crops across the whole of India and all over Vietnam are being destroyed, or at least very, very stressed because of this. What role can biochar play in drought?
So biochar has a characteristic that is hydroscopic. That means it sucks water.
It holds water.
Yeah, it's like a it brings, like, if you leave biochar in the air, and if it's humid, then it gets
it will take water out of the air.
It takes water. And for example, if you have a dry biochar and you put water on it, and then you come back and see it, water disappears. Where did they go? The biochar got it.
Okay.
So it's kind of a magnet to water. And it has the capacity to retain the water in it. So it's like a sponge kind of thing.
Will it feed the plant if it's thirsty?
Yes, because the mining, what happens is, I told you this was like a reef where the microbiology go to living.
Right.
So how do the plants really get the nutrition? So plants, they don't have teeth. They don't have, like, they can't bite.
Yeah.
They just drink.
Okay.
But plants, they absorb. They only drink. So that's why they get so stressed when they don't have water. The country, and again, it happens this thing in the soil that gets very hardened. It get oxidized, and so the plants, the microbiology dies because of the high temperature. They are unable to give the food. So whenever it rains back, for example, there is a drought, and you have this bare soil, and you have this hardened soil. When it rains back, the water doesn't absorb. The water floats. It goes. That's why we have these big floods. Have you
All right.
seen
Yeah.
Brazil? What
Right.
happened in Brazil? What is happening? This is
Because the ground doesn't absorb the water after a long drought, the ground turns to like concrete, right? And so the water, once it rains after a drought, we saw this in Australia a lot. The water hits the ground, and instead of it being absorbed into the ground, it hits it like it's concrete and it continues to run across the top of it, right?
Well, the what's happening is we have these high temperatures and stress periods where you have no rain, and then it rains, but it rains what it's supposed to rain, like in a day can rain what it, the rain of
A
a
year.
month. Yeah, you have a month rain in one day, so like the soil collapses. You have so many problems. So, but when you have put in the soil the biochar and you have amended that soil, especially on the plate, it looks like a cloth in the top of that nice plate. Like I don't do plate anymore. Like this is one of the labors in agriculture. You do plates. I don't do plates because I cover the plate. What I do is cover that plate so it looks like a blanket. So when it rains, what that does is to keep the water. And where does it keep it? Near the root. So if for example, this has to
Benefits.
it gets up the efficiency, yeah, of the rain or the water. So when it keeps it absorbs it. And then it slowly releases it. So whenever then you have the seasons that it's not raining, your plantation looks like irrigated. Some people were so curious. I was irrigated and thought I bought an irrigation system, and I don't have an irrigation system. I have biochar. So what this does is give you more time. It gives you like a window frame area where a drought is not a drought.
This is wild. So that means that if this year I have biochar, right, and it rains, the biochar takes the excess moisture, it stores it, and lets the plant have what it needs to survive at the moment. Next year, if it's a drought, the biochar still maintains the water that it excess water from last year so that it extends the wet season from last year to the next year.
Yeah, it holds the water. And for example, this year in Colombia, we had an El Niño event. In my area, we had like January, it only rained 10 millimeters. It was
What does
10
it normally
millimeters.
rain?
Normally, like right now, it's raining 100 millimeters a day. And I had 10 millimeters in January. In February, was almost the same. There were like 3 months I had these very low and very high heat waves. It was like this brutal temperature in the day. I told you we measure 55 degrees in the thermometer. And the trees were green and they were happy. It's like they have this comfort zone where they keep the water there.
I wonder how long corporates have known about this technology.
I was told by
Yeah, tell me.
somebody
Yeah.
a year ago, because I really wanted people to get prepared for the El Nino. So I was really worried, and I did all call them, you know, these, let's do this. So somebody said, there is a Colombian research institution that did a research on this 10 years ago. They have the whole research, but they is not disclosed. I don't know why.
I mean,
like
we do know why.
That.
We can think about it. We can figure
I
it
said,
out.
I said, how can, this is criminal. Because there is, you know, there is an event that is going on every such and then that is called El Nino. And this is bankruptcy. This is not like, not a play you do. Then like plants really suicide. They suicide themselves because the climate is so hard. You can't even recover them. You can't then put biochar and get them alive again. They died because they suicide. And some of there are some breeds of, we have found that in this 10-year period, there are some breeds in Arabica that with heat waves hits harder to them.
So the heat wave, there are certain varietals of Arabica that are impacted more by a heat wave than others. And so if you have those varietals, by having biochar as a part of the whole system, it creates a homeostasis that makes it more resistant to dying if there are fluctuations in weather.
Yeah.
Particularly heat.
What happens in weather is at the beginning, you have a stress. Then you have the plant won't produce because they only survive.
Wow.
But then it suicides. Some of them are more stressed than others. Like you can have other type of breeds, which, for example, tabby. Tabby is one of the Arabica plants. And tabby, when it gets stressed, it gets a skeleton. And if it gets stressed, then she only survives. So because it's only in the survival mode, it won't give production. So for you as a farmer, it's cost.
Wow.
We lose money.
And you can create your own biochar, like from your own waste on your farm, you can just go and start burning this stuff and just keep adding to the pile and adding to the pile and adding to the pile. Just get a barrel or some kind of closed system. And it's like that simple.
Yeah, you have the pictures. I signed it to you. Yeah, and it has a whole methodology. For example, Puro has a methodology for artisans. So for example, the farmers, if they have a cooperative, if they have an institution that gets them together, and if they do the project, say for example, a nonprofit or something gets then they can get fund the MRV, and we can get the farmers to be paid for these, for
creating
these
the biochar.
Yeah, because they are sequestrating carbon. So we can create another income for the farmer.
As a part of a country's effort to become carbon net neutral.
It's net negative, zero,
right?
Actually. Right. Actually, we are not carbon like
neutral.
For example, my coffee is not neutral. I thought it was neutral.
Yeah,
and now I work with these people in the United States, and they say, "No, Angela, you are carbon negative because you are actually
sequestering.
You're
pulling it out of the atmosphere.
Sequestering the carbon, so you're pulling it out. You can have money; they pay you for doing that. But
governments do that. They pay you. They pay people for helping them with reach their energy climate targets.
Yeah, but because these, you are already doing it. There, you can get paid of that by the voluntary market. But what you need is you get the system, to get paid. You have to have the MRV, you have to have the third party.
This is
you
have carbon credits, right? Is that what you're talking about? Carbon credits. Yeah. So when you take a flight, folks, so that you know what we're talking about, when you take a flight, or you buy, I don't know, you buy a car or whatever. So, sometimes there's the opportunity when you buy something from a company where you can like tick a box and they charge you a little bit extra and they say that you want to make your purchase carbon net neutral, or you want to offset the carbon emissions from your purchase by buying carbon credits. This is what we're talking about. There are different technologies out there that pull the carbon out of the air. And so when you say that you want to offset your purchase by buying carbon credits, this is an option to do that. So what Angela's saying is that one of the benefits of coffee producers doing this is that they're creating an alternative revenue stream by being able to sell carbon credits to corporates. This is fantastic. Have you started doing it?
That's why I'm so obsessed with biochar.
Yeah. Have you started doing it, Angela? Have you started selling carbon credits?
There are two companies. I don't know if I can say the names. Carbon Trace, a pilot, and the other one is Circonomy. Circonomy is from Singapore. And we have the meetings and they said, Angela, get the farmers. We get the money because there are many companies that want to lower their footprint. Right. So what can be more beautiful than helping farmers and buying them the carbon credits and getting them the money?
Right.
But the problem is I see is that this cooperative, they only see the coffee business. But what I see, the way I see it is you can
all
have
agriculture.
Coffee, sustainable coffee. This is not about copying. This is not about having a 90 coffee. You can have an 80 coffee, but because it's sustainable, this coffee can reach more clients.
Yes.
Because people are going to buy them because it's sustainable.
Right. And folks, like to demonstrate what we mean by this, right? So let's say we've got a very famous hotel group, right? This is called ESG. So what happens, ESG is environment, sustainability, and governance, right? And what happens is that companies are now required by their corporate governance or the rules of operation that they have to be able to demonstrate that they can meet climate targets. Otherwise, their supply chain will not work with them. So shareholders, when a company has an IPO, they're listed on the stock market and they have an ESG strategy, people are more willing to buy their shares than a company that does not have an ESG strategy. So what happens is they have to meet certain climate targets that are set by either their shareholders or by the charter of the corporation, because energy is going to get more expensive as a country gets closer to 2030 or 2050. So for example, in Australia, for example, here in the Emirates, there is a mandate that the country will be net neutral by 2050. In order to encourage that to happen quicker, governments will make traditional forms of energy more expensive. So all your fossil fuels will get more expensive and renewables will get cheaper. In order for corporations and countries to meet those targets, they buy carbon credits. They just simply have to find a way to do that, because on their website, on their products, on everything that they do, they have to be able to demonstrate that they participate in a supply chain that is aware of ESG and of energy transition. And they're meeting their targets. Otherwise, suppliers simply won't use them. Go back to the hotel that I was just talking about. The Hilton, the Sheraton. I actually gave a talk to the Sheraton about this here in Dubai. What happens is the Sheraton will no longer do business with coffee companies or with any other suppliers, their procurement team have been told not to do business with them as they get closer to reaching their ESG targets because it goes against their climate policy. And so that means if you're a coffee roaster wanting to sell to the Sheraton, you will not get a look in if you're not buying coffee that you can demonstrate is net neutral or negative. So imagine you'd be able to go to the Sheraton and say, we can actually help you support producers by buying carbon credits. Now it becomes a new value proposition for you as a roaster, as well as for the coffee producer. This is very, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I give you numbers of my farm. Like, somebody did these numbers to me, and I'm obsessed with that. Like every month I see, I lose money. So my last year I applied 50 tons of biochar to my 7-acre farm.
Okay.
So I have 50 tons. So 1 ton of biochar sequesters 2 tons of CO2.
Wow.
So I actually get twice the credits of the biochar I use in the farm. So for 50 tons I use in my farm, I get 100 credits.
Wow.
And the last year, the carbon credits in biochar, they were $100. But they say, let's say I only get paid $20 the credit. Mm-hmm. Let's say this is about $2,000. $2,000 for me, it's
helpful. At the very least, yeah. It's helpful.
No, this can mean a difference. Like, yes. For example, in a bad year, you have a bad year and you couldn't sell you didn't have a good price, or you have a heat wave, you lost the coffee. So now with this bad coffee, you do an amendment. Now you don't sell it because it's fancier to sell it. So the farm, you give so much freedom. You can do more biochar, and then you can get more paid by the credit.
And on top of that, now you're saving money. So not only are you earning money from the credits, you're also saving money by not having to buy fertilizers. So now this regenerative agriculture ends up having a positive feedback loop, right?
Yeah. The next year you have more. So for me, I see it. I never had a bad year again. Because if I, for example, I grow many things. If one of the crop grows bad or rotten or some bug kills it or something happens, I can always turn it into biochar and then use it again as a soil amendment. So it's a way. It gives you so much freedom. You can from something that seems bad, you can have a good thing out of it.
It has a positive feedback loop. So Angela, this has been extraordinary. Thank you for coming on the podcast and having this conversation with me, and for doing it so quickly after our conversation. If people want to get in contact with you, I'm going to put you in contact with a lot of people.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you in contact with agronomists. I'm going to put you in contact with some people from the SCA Science Division. I'm going to put you in contact with a whole bunch of folks. But clearly, as the bell rings, it's giving us the indication that it's time to wrap up. So how can people get in contact with you?
So I have an Instagram page called at Bodega de la Finca. It's an Instagram, and I sell there the coffee and the produce. And also right now I'm building like a small factory.
Okay.
To
create
do
biochar.
This parking, yeah, to do these formulations for the biochar and to be able to sell liquid carbon extract and all the stuff we do, because we, with all the biochar, we have found this knowledge that was ancient and it's getting lost because people are getting old. So we get this knowledge and we do it. Like, for example, I ferment in clay pot.
Okay.
And so I have these
Wisdom.
extracts now. Yeah, it's a knowledge. So we do the workshops in the farm.
Yeah.
We're doing one in June, the 13th and the 14th of June. Anyone can come. We talk in English. We talk in Spanish. And we do the workshops. The workshops have been taken by mostly companies.
Okay.
But I want more people to come. So that's why, like, I want to do a system where people can buy, like, a ticket to get a farmer, like a poor farmer.
Ah, like a pay it forward. Okay.
Yeah. And so they can come and they can learn how to make the amendments and the things.
Great.
And the other way is I have a LinkedIn.
Great.
Yeah, my LinkedIn is Angela del Pilar Marrero. Or you put biochar, I appear because I put on so much information. I believe information, transfer information
is important.
Can build, yeah, like some geologist wrote me and he said, let's do this. And we did the plot and it ran out. We are doing enhanced weathering.
Wow.
So we begin to do this, like, knowledge is being built by this network of people you become with. So the media, social media helped me to get connected to these crazy people that really want to try it. I mean, I said try it, and if it, like, I'm not saying do it in the whole farm.
Test it. See if it has any implications. Folks, we will put links in the show notes. Please reach out to Angela if you find this helpful. And if you have any questions, she wants to hear from you. I know a lot of you are very shy, but please don't hesitate to reach out. Angela, thank you again. Will you do us the honor of signing off this series for us with peace, love, and peanut butter?
Peace, love, and peanut butter.
Have an amazing rest of your day, everyone. Bye. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.